نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. Today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 8th session and our 8th hadith that we are taking in this course related to Arabic lessons in hadith for the level 2 Mustawa Thani Arabic program, Islamic University of Medina. Today's hadith is one of the shorter of the short hadith, so it should be very easy for whoever didn't memorize it already. Should be very easy to memorize it today. It's only a few words, far less than 10 words, and it is a very important hadith containing a matter of great significance. Before we look at the hadith for today, we want to review last week's hadith and maybe one or two hadith from the weeks before that, just to make sure that we are staying on top of it. Hopefully, yani, these hadith have already been memorized, or at least we are working on them, all of them, if not most of them. So let's start with the hadith that's precious in our memory from last week. Okay, who remembers the hadith from last week? It's narrated from who? Who is the narrator? Abu Huraira. And who collected the hadith? Huh? Muslim and Bukhari. Muttafaqun alayh. Muttafaqun alayh. Reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Rahimahullah. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa khayb. As far as the text of the hadith, who memorized it? Memorized it. Okay, let's start on this side. Mustafa. جيد أحسنت. The hadith of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة متفق عليه. يعني reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So this hadith last week is about 8 words, and the hadith today is less than that. Now, who else memorized it? طيب نصير.
عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة.
نعم. رواه Is it متفقٌ عليه؟ طيب متفقٌ عليه. يعني نعم مسلم is true, yes. But along with Muslim, Al-Bukhari, right? Okay, who else memorized this hadith? Memorized it. نعم. Try. نعم. نعم. طيب, what is the meaning of the hadith? What is the meaning of the hadith? يعني أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said what?
That which is between my house and my minbar is a garden from the Garden of Jannah.
نعم. That which is between my house and my minbar. specifically, he's yani specifying the location of this area between my house and my minbar. What is a minbar? Yani it's the steps that are built for the khatib, the person who's giving the khutbah of Jumu'ah, to stand in when he's addressing the people in Yawmul Jumu'ah to give the khutbah, right? So he said, what is between my house and my minbar is a garden, a rawba, from the gardens of paradise. From the gardens of paradise. Now, what is the meaning of rawba? Plural of? Of rawda. Plural of rawda. Naam. And what is some of the possible meanings of this hadith, this garden from the gardens of paradise? What did we mention last week in terms of what the scholars said? Some of the views of the scholars concerning this.
Hadith.
Nasir.
Hadith.
Okay, hadika. Naam. You mean the meaning of the word Jannah is hadika or bustan? Naam. But this garden from the gardens of paradise, what is meant that this is a garden from the gardens of paradise? Now,
you can worship and make dua.
Now, yani it's a place where people, because they are worshipping in it, they are making dua and salat and reading Quran and dhikr. Naam, wa alaykum salam. Because of that, yani those are the actions that may lead a person to Jannah. Naam, another meaning? Fadhu, come in, come on.
Some scholars,
a physical place.
Okay, what else?
Some scholars said that.
Meaning literally that this place will be conveyed in the next life to the Jannah. It will be a part of Jannah literally. Now, any other meaning? Any other meaning that we remember? Now,
I'm at cross from meaning that this place, like there is so much knowledge in this area. If you come to get knowledge, it's like
a garden. Yani it's like a garden that you go to take fruits from, right? Yani because it's a place where the people were getting the fruits of Islam from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In any case, these are some of the meanings that show the significance of this garden from the gardens of paradise. Indeed, it shows its superiority, its virtue, its excellence, and it's something that we should pay attention to. It's something that we should pay attention to. If a person has the opportunity, by the permission of Allah, to go to Medina, and they visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they should give some emphasis and some importance to this area of the masjid, which our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Okay, the hadith, na'am akhi.
The pushing and all those things.
Yeah, without the pushing and all of that, without hurting anybody, pushing anybody, knocking anybody down, without all of that, right? With yani with adab, with manners and etiquette and care and concern for the people without hurting anybody. Okay, the week before that, the hadith of the week before that, what was the hadith from 2 weeks ago? Who was the narrator of the hadith 2 weeks ago? Yani it was the sixth hadith. Anybody remember? It was Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And the hadith was collected by who? Who are the collectors? Hadith collectors. Huh?
Three different collectors.
Jayid, Ahsan. Three different collectors. From amongst them? Abu Dawood. He said Abu Dawood. Okay. Who else? Huh? And Nasai? Uh-huh. And who else? Not Tirmidhi. Ahmed, Abu Dawood, and Nasai. Ahmed, Abu Dawood, and Nasai. And we also said that in one of the narrations, there's an extra wording, and that one was narrated by who? Huh? Ibn Majah. Okay, we're going to look at that wording, but first let's look at the original hadith the way we got it. Who memorized the hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu? Who memorized the hadith? One only? Two? Three? Okay, take a look at it. Who's going to try first? Mustafa. Hadith of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. Qal. Qal inna.
حريراً فجعله في شماله
في يمينه
في يمينه
نعم
ثم
و
وأخذ ذهباً ثم
وأخذ ذهباً فجعله في شمالي.
أها. ثم قال.
إن هذين
حرام
على
سكر أمتي.
نعم رواه أحمد وأبو داود والنسائي. Okay, who else? Somebody else. Try to recite it from memory. Try to recite from memory. Everybody should have been looking at it while he was reciting it. Nobody? Okay, let's look at the hadith, okay, and let's try. Yani, this hadith is also very, very important hadith. It gives us some legal rulings that the Prophet ﷺ emphasized here concerning that which is haram. And we need to know what is haram, right? If we don't know it's haram, maybe we will engage in it. Maybe we will consume it. Maybe we will participate in that which is forbidden by Allah and be entitled, yani, deserving of punishment. Okay? The hadith is the hadith of Abi Talib, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, qal, inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akhadha hariran faja'alahu ayna fi yaminihi. وأخذ ذهبا وجعله في شماله ثم قال إن هذين these two things are حرام على ذكور أمتي. And in the narration of Ibn Majah said what? Said what? حل لي أناثهم يعني permissible for their females. Okay, what is the meaning of this hadith of Ali? He said that indeed verily the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did what?
He took a piece of silk.
Naam.
And placed it in his right hand.
Uh-huh.
And he took a piece of gold
and placed it in his left hand.
Then he said, Indeed, these two things,
yani the silk and gold are haram or forbidden
for the males of my ummah.
And in the narration of Ibn Majah, they are lawful li-inathihim. Lawful li-inathihim. Yani for the females. For their females. Meaning the females. Female Muslims. The women. Now.
The narration of Ibn Majah, that part is coming after ummati?
At the end, yeah. Yani haramun ala dhukuri ummati hillun li-inathihim. Hillun li-inathihim. يعني حرام على ذكور أمتي forbidden for the males of my ummah حل lawful لإناثهم permissible for their women. طيب anybody want to try it? Okay, hadith before that, the week before that, one more hadith, hadith number 5, fifth hadith. Who remembers who the hadith was from? Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. Who collected the hadith?
Muslim.
Yeah. Muslim. Collected by Muslim. Okay, the hadith of Uthman. Naam, you want to try it? Naam, fadl.
An Uthman radiallahu anhu.
An Uthman radiallahu anhu. Naam.
Uthman radiallahu anhu. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Man bana.
من بنى whoever نعم
من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيت في الجنة
نعم رواه مسلم يعني الحديث of عثمان عن عثمان why عثمان فتح ممنوع من الصرف okay it's مجرور but the sign that it's مجرور is فتح because it's ممنوع من الصرف عن عثمان رضي الله عنه قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من بنى لله مسجدا بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة رواه مسلم. Okay, this is also one of the short hadith. من بنى لله مسجدا. يعني whoever builds for Allah, for the sake of Allah, sincerely for the sake of Allah, with ikhlas. Whoever builds لله, for the sake of Allah, a masjid, بنى الله له, then Allah will build for him بيتا, a house, الجنتي, in the paradise reported by Al Imam Muslim. Anybody want to recite this hadith first from memory? Hadith of Uthman.
Man bana
Now.
Am Ismaila radiallahu anhu khala. Khala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man bana lillahi masjidan. Bana lahu lahu baytan fi jannah.
Rawahu? Muslim. Anybody else? Anybody else? Now, Shu'ayb.
An Uthman radiallahu anhu qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam man bana lillahi masjidan bana allahu lahu baytan fil jannati rawahu Muslim.
Ahsant, mashallah. Anybody else? Tayyib. The objective here is for us to be encouraged to memorize these hadith, okay? So from time to time, we're going to try to go back over some of the hadith. If we have any time at the end of the class today, we're going to go over the ones that we didn't do, yani now. Yani, that was hadith number 5, right? So we reviewed 7, 6, 5. So we still got 4, 3, 2, and 1. Okay, we're going to try to review all of them from week to week. We're going to try to do some of them, if not all of them, so that we don't, yani, just give up on them. Rather, we'll come back to them again and again and again until we can memorize them all, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Okay, any question about last week's hadith? Any question about last week's hadith before we take the new hadith? Tayyib. Today's hadith, yani as we said, is the 8th hadith. This is our 8th session, and we're on page 20. Page 20, Ad-Darsu Al-Thaminu. Page 20, Ad-Darsu Al-Thaminu. Yani the 8th lesson. The hadith is an Abi Marathadin. Marathadin. An Abi Marathadin. Al-Ghanawi. With shadda on the ya. Al-Ghanawi. Radiallahu anhu. Qal. Notice in this hadith, most of the hadith we had, right? Qal, qal. Qala, qala Rasulullah. In this hadith, pay attention. Qala, sami'tu. He said, I heard, sami'tu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakulu. Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakulu. What did he say? La tusallu ila al-kuburi. Wa la tajlisu alayha. Two statements. La tusallu ila al-kuburi. Wa la tajlisu alayha. Rawahu Muslim. Okay. Again, this hadith is one of the shorter of the short hadith that will be taken in this course. So everybody should make sure that they memorize it. Today, during the class, try to memorize it. Or if not, then yani, during the week. Okay, again, the hadith is narrated by Abi Al-Marathad. Abi Al-Marathad. Abi, I'm sorry, not Al. Abi Marathadin Al-Ghanawi. Abi Marathadin Al-Ghanawi radiallahu anhu qal. Yani Abi Marthad Al-Ghanawi. Abi Marthad, this is his kunya, right? Kunya means what? Yani the name that a person is known by in reference to their first child. Yani so he was the father of Marthad, and he and his son Marthad, both of them aslama, they accepted Islam. And the Marthad, the son, Marthad ibn Abi Marthad, it is said that they both fought in the Battle of Badr, and the son was killed in one of the battles later on during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was a shaheed. He was killed in fighting in the way of Allah during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abi Marthadin al-Ghanawi radiallahu anhu, he said, I heard, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. يعني قال, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying. قال, he said, يَقُولُ, he is saying. He is saying, يعني present tense, مُضَارِي. Okay, so قال is the past tense, يَقُولُ is the present tense. So he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, I heard him saying these words, two things. Two of them, both of them are prohibitions. La tusallu ila al-kubur, meaning
don't pray.
Don't pray. Salah. لا تصلوا إلى القبور. Don't pray towards the graves, facing the graves. Huh? ولا تجلسوا عليها, meaning, and don't sit upon it, upon them. Ha, this is the feminine singular, mufrad muthanna. But why are we using feminine singular here? Because referring back to what? To kubur, and kubur is a plural, غيرو عاقل, plural غيرو عاقل. So the plurals for things which are not human, يعني, or angels or jinn, the plurals for those things, inanimate things, and so on, يعني, the plural for them, we treat them as though they are feminine singular. Alayha. And we didn't say alayhim, right? We said alayha. Because we're talking about graves. We're not talking about people, we're talking about the graves. طيب, here, again, we want to emphasize the point, there are two statements made in this hadith, and both of them are prohibitions. And we're going to discuss a little bit today about something that we talked about in an earlier hadith. The first hadith that we took also had a prohibition, right? What was the first hadith that we took that had a prohibition? Uh-huh. Do not eat. La ta'akulu bishimal. Don't drink with the left. Huh? That was a prohibition, right? Because we said that's la and nahiya. Nahiya, nahi, prohibition. And la nahiya means that you are being prohibited from doing something. And in Islam, in the Sharia of Allah, we know that a prohibition from Allah, from the Prophet ﷺ, indicates that a thing is haram. And the qaida, the rule that we have in the Sharia is, an nahyu yaqtadi al haram. An nahyu, the prohibition from Allah and His Messenger, yaqtadi, indicates, necessitates that something is haram. يقتدي الحرام. Okay, so we talked about this لا النهية, the لا that's used for prohibition, as opposed to the other لا النافية, which is means negation. يعني he does not do something. This one means do not do it. Huh? So this is a prohibition. Do not pray towards the graves. لا تصلوا إلى الكبور. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us, do not pray towards the grave. That means that the prohibition indicates, يعني, that the thing is haram, prohibited, forbidden, unlawful. And then he said, ولا تجلسوا عليها. Second matter, right? ولا تجلسوا عليها, and do not sit upon them, upon the graves. Do not sit upon them. I'm going to talk about it a little bit, inshallah. But for now, يعني, we'll understand the meaning of the words and this important grammatical point of la and nahiya. And nahiya, yani, the la that's used for prohibition. Okay, before we look at the hadith again, I want to explain this rule of la and nahiya a little bit further. La and nahiya means that something is prohibited. And grammatically, the verb, the mudari verb that comes after la and nahiya, is changed from being marfu'un to being majzum. Majzum. So, the verb, for example, that has dhamma at the end, yani, you say, anta tajlisu. You are sitting. Anta tajlisu. When it becomes majzum, the dhamma is changed to sukoon. La tajlis. But as far as the af'al al-khamsa, the five verbs that have noon at the end, like yajlisuna, tajlisuna, yadhabani, tadhabani, huh? And tajlisina, yani, for the second person, feminine singular. These verbs have noon at the end. When they are majzum, the noon is deleted. That's why this verb here, la tusallu, it is originally tusalluna. Huh? It's originally tusalluna. Yani, antum tusalluna. Antum tusalluna. But when it became majzum, for by anything, whether it's by la and nahiya, or whether it's from lam or lamma or whatever, the noon is deleted. And then we have this out of here. Okay? La tusallu. Originally tusalluna. But because of it became majzum by la and nahiya, now the sign that is majzum is the hadf and noon, the removal, the deletion, the omission of the noon. Alright? So, the sign that the mudari verb is majzum is either, if it has dhamma, the dhamma is changed to sukoon, and if it has noon from these verbs, the noon is omitted. Alright? So this is a point that we covered before in some of the other lessons, but maybe some people were not in those classes when we were covering that matter. So we want to today mention, so that it's clear to everybody what is happening here. Why did this verb take on this form when originally it should be tusalluna? Should be originally tusalluna, and then it's changed because it became majzoom. Okay, so that being said, let's go back to the hadith again. The narrator of the hadith is who remembers without looking? Without looking, now. You left out one word. Huh? Yeah. Yani in the hadith we said An Abi, but originally Abi is what? Abu. So his name is Abu Marathadin Al Ghanawi. Abu Marathadin. But in the hadith, because it became majrur from An, right? That's how it became Abi. Okay, so his name is Abu Marathadin Al Ghanawi radiallahu anhu. And he said what? Qala, what did he say? سمعتُ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقولُ I said I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying these two things, two prohibitions. Okay, without looking, somebody tell me the first of the prohibitions. What did the Prophet say? لا تصلوا إلى القبور. And the second one? ولا تجلسوا عليها. لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها. So the same thing happens with تجلسوا. يعني تجلسوا also is a mudari verb, right? And originally it was the plural أنتم تجلسون, right? So it's تجلسوا or plural تجلسون. Tajlisuna. But when it became majzoom, then we said what? That the noon is deleted and is replaced by here, this aleph. So we had la tajlisu. La tajlisu. And we had here la tusallu. La tajlisu alayha. Yani alayha is from ala, the preposition ala, and the damir ha, which is the feminine singular, referring back to al-kubur. Tayyib. Anybody memorized it yet? Did you recite it yet?
No.
From memory. Tayyib, from memory. Nasir.
An Abi Martha Dehil Ghanawi radiallahu anhu qala samitu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul la tusallu
لا تصلوا
إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها.
رواه مسلم. Okay, try to pay attention to the prepositions, right? لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا على يعني عليها. إلى وعلى. طيب, any question about this hadith? The meaning of the words. And the meaning of the words. لا تصلوا. We know the meaning of these words. إلى القبور ولا تجلسوا عليها. نعم.
إلى means towards and Allah means on top of.
نعم. And they have different meanings. They have more than one meaning. Okay, prepositions. Many of these prepositions have a lot of meanings. Some of them have 5, 6, 7, 10 different meanings, right? But here the meaning is like you said. لا تصلوا إلى يعني towards, in the direction of, facing the grave, facing it. يعني when we pray towards what? The Qibla, yani which is what? The Kaaba. We don't pray towards, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Kaaba the direction that we face in prayer in honor of the Kaaba. So praying towards the grave is like honoring the grave. It's like ta'zeem. Yani exalting, glorifying the grave. And this is not permissible. Because this very likely would lead to, as we found in the world today, what? Shirk, worship of the graves. If you didn't see it, then you might not understand how serious the matter is, but I have seen it in real life. And there are places in the world today where bus loads of people are going to certain places to worship at the grave of someone, or either at a tree or a stone or something. Bus loads of people. In some countries there are places where the Muslims, the Christians and the Hindus do this shirk together in the same place. Yani honoring, exalting, glorifying the creation. This is shirk. And shirk takes a person out of Islam. Yani nullifies a person's Islam and entitles them to yani a permanent place in the hellfire. So this is a severe, a very, very serious matter. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا تصلوا إلى الكبور. يعني سد الذريعة. سد الذريعة. يعني what? To close the opening that might lead to something evil. And it did lead to evil, right? When people disobeyed the command of the Prophet ﷺ, we found millions of people worshipping at graves. Millions. Not 10 or 20 or 30. Not hundreds, thousands, millions. Naam. What is your name, brother?
Abdurrahman.
Yes, brother.
So therefore, if you are, let's say you go to visit a kubur,
yeah,
a parent, whatever, you and your friend, but it's Salat Zohr, so you got to get out of that.
Right? Yeah, you shouldn't pray there.
Right, you just got to get out.
That's right, get out of there. Get away from there, go someplace else. Yani, for example, if you went, for example, somebody passed away and we followed the deceased to the cemetery, right? The time for Salat came. Like the last time we went to the cemetery, yani, the time for Salat came while we're in the cemetery. Can we pray in the cemetery? No. You cannot pray in the cemetery. You have to go out of the cemetery. So we went out of the gate and went on some grass and then we prayed. Naam. Okay, you cannot pray in the cemetery. It's not a place of prayer. Okay, we don't want to get sidetracked too much. Okay, but in the end of the hadith, we can take some other more questions. Go ahead, brother. What you want to say?
No, I just have a question. The people used to sit on the grave, like the last brother.
Yes. Yes. Now, we're going to talk about it a little bit, inshallah. And maybe if we have time, inshallah, we'll read some notes. And concerning explanations, what some of the scholars said in some of the books of hadith concerning this particular hadith. Okay, let's look at the hadith one more time. Inshallah, before we leave here today, try to memorize it. The hadith is An Abi Marthadin Al-Ghanawi radiyallahu anhu qal sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul la tusallu ila al-kuburi wa la tajlisu عليها رواه مسلم. Okay, let's write it, let's recite it together. عن أبي مرثد.
عن أبي مرثد.
الغنوي.
الغنوي.
رضي الله عنه قال.
رضي الله عنه قال.
سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. يقول. لا تصلوا إلى الكبور ولا تجلسوا عليها رواه مسلم. Okay, let's look at the notes concerning this hadith. And again, I remind you, right, that this لا is لا ناهية. يعني النهي means prohibition. لا ناهية. We said the rule is that النهي يقتدي التحريم. يعني it indicates that something is haram. طيب. The first thing we have here is the word صلى. صلى. صلى is the past tense. فعل ماضي. Meaning he performed prayer. The salat. Which prayer we're talking about? We're talking about the prayer that begins with takbir and ends with taslim. That includes standing and bowing and sitting and prostration. Huh? This is what we mean by prayer. Because maybe in English, you say he prayed, he might mean he what? Kana yad'u. Maybe dua, right? But we mean the salat that begins with takbir and ends with taslim. Salla means he performed salat. Huh? The past tense form salla is followed by the mudari present tense form yusalli. So we say the past tense salla, the present tense yusalli. Huwa salla, he prayed, he performed salat. Huwa yusalli, he is praying, he does pray, he does pray. Naam. The second word is al-kubur, came in this hadith, al-kubur, and we said that this kubur is jam'u al-qabr. Jam'u al-qabri. Yani kubur is the plural of al-qabr. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And after this, we have the second verb used in this hadith, the verb jalasa, and its mudari form is yajlisu. Jalasa yajlisu. Jalasa yajlisu. The meaning of jalasa is what? He sat. Al-madi, past tense. He sat. Wa yajlisu, the present tense. He sits. He does sit. He is sitting. Present tense. Wal-masdar, the infinitive from this verb jalasa yajlisu, is julusun. And what we mean by the masdar, we mean the noun that has the meaning of the action of the verb. It has the meaning of action, it's not a verb. Huh? Because the verb in Arabic has to have the meaning of action, it has to indicate time, and it has to indicate the doer of the action. Yani huwa, yani jalasa. Here, jalasat. Ana, jalastu. Yani these forms of the verb tell us the action of sitting, tells us the time, past tense, and it also tells us yani that he sat, or she sat, or I sat, the doer of the action. As far as the masdar, it has the meaning of action, but it doesn't indicate time or the one doing the action. So the meaning of julus is what? Sitting. Huh? Sitting, like nuzul means descending, and su'ud means ascending, and julus means sitting. Okay, so we have here the verb jalasa yajlisu, and its masdar is julus. Tayyib, any question about these words? Yani salla, al-kubur, or jalasa? Any question about these words, the meanings? Clear. Okay, let's move on to the munakasha. Now, the masdar is the, yani the infinitive, meaning it's a noun that has the meaning of the action, a meaning of action of the verb that it comes from. The meaning of action, yani it points to the same action that the verb points to. Yani the verb jalasa points to the action of sitting, and the masdar also points to the same action of sitting, but it's not a verb, it's a noun. Naam, it doesn't have indication of time or the one who's doing the action. It just points to the action of the fi'l. Okay, after this, the munakasha discussion concerning this, the first part, ajib amma ya'ti, answer concerning what follows. Answer concerning what follows. The first question, ma hukmu salati ila al-kuburi wal-julusi alayha. What is the meaning of the question? What is the ruling of concerning the prayer, praying the salat towards the graves and sitting upon them, sitting upon the graves? Okay, what is the ruling concerning praying towards the graves or sitting upon them? Now, Musa. حُكْمُ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَى الْكُبُورِ وَالْجُلُوسِ حُكْمُ نعم الْجُلُوسِ عَلَيْهَا حَرَامٌ. Yani the ruling, the legal ruling, the Sharia ruling concerning praying towards the graves or sitting upon them is that it is forbidden. It's illegal, unlawful, prohibited. طيب, second question, أُذْكُرْ حَدِيثًا فِي النَّهْيِ عن الصلاة إلى الكبور. What is the meaning of the question? Mention a hadith concerning the prohibition of prayer towards the graves. Okay, somebody mention the hadith. في النهي عن الصلاة إلى الكبور. The meaning of the question? Mention a hadith concerning the prohibition of praying. عليكم السلام. Of praying, making salat towards the graves. نعم. نعم. Anyway, somebody else. نعم. نعم. What's your name? Abdurrahman.
نعم.
Abdurrahman.
أن أبي مقصد العلاي رضي الله عنه. سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا تصلوا إلى القبور ولا تجلس.
نعم. Who is reported by?
رواه مسلم.
ها؟
رواه مسلم.
الإمام مسلم. رواه مسلم. نعم. طيب. So this hadith, يعني is the hadith. يعني on the discussion today, very important hadith, the hadith of Abi al-Murthadin, Abi Murthadin, wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, al-Ghanawi radiyallahu anhu, يعني قال, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول, لا تصلوا إلى الكبور ولا تجلسوا عليها رواه مسلم. يعني that Abu Murthadin al-Ghanawi, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, do not pray towards the graves and do not sit upon them, reported by Imam Muslim. Third question, من الصحابي الذي روى هذا الحديث لا تصلي إلى الكبور to the end of it, ومن المحدث الذي أخرجه. من الصحابي الذي روى هذا الحديث شعيب. شعيب. نعم أبو مرثدين الغنوي وشد on the يا رضي الله عنه. طيب second part of the question, من المحدث الذي أخرج هذا الحديث. What is the meaning of the question? Who is the scholar of hadith who collected this hadith? يعني who is the scholar of hadith? يعني موسى. نعم المحدث الذي أخرجه الإمام مسلم رحمه الله. نعم. طيب. On the next page we have the second part of the questions. Two questions. Number one, ما مفرد الكبور. What is the meaning of the question and the answer? نعم. Somebody on this side. Abdul Karim. What is the singular, the مفرد? What is the singular of Kubur? What is the singular of Al Kubur? Naam, the answer? Al Qabr. Naam. Mufrad Al Kubur Qabr. Yani Al Qabr. The Mufrad is Qabr. Al Qabr. Naam. The second question, Adkhil. Salla fi Jumlatin. Adkhil. Here, what is the meaning of Adkhil? To enter, to cause something to enter. Here we mean use, to use this in a sentence. يعني أدخل صلى في جملة, enter it into a sentence literally. What is intended by it means use this word in a sentence. أدخل is the فعل أمر from the fourth form of the verb. يعني it's not from دخل, it's from أدخل. يدخل فعل أمر أدخل. يعني the فعل أمر from دخل يدخل is what? أدخل. يعني enter, you enter. أدخل means cause someone or something else to enter. يعني somebody is telling you to يعني enter him, يعني cause him to enter, allow him to enter, make him to enter. But if somebody says أدخل, it means enter, you enter. If they said أدخل means to cause someone else to enter. So it means here, يعني utilize this word in a sentence. The word what? صلى. What is the meaning of صلى? He prayed. Yani, which type of verb is this? Fi'l madhi. It's a past tense verb. So the sentence is going to be in the past tense, right? Naam. Musa.
Salla Hamidun Salat al-Zuhri fil Masjid.
Naam. Salla man Hamid?
Hamidun.
Salla Hamidun
Salat
al-Zuhri
fil
Masjid. Naam. Wa ma hu Ikhwanuhu. وأصدقاؤه من الرجال إن شاء الله في الصف الأول. نعم طيب. Okay, this is the end of the questions, and in the time that we have now, we're going to look at the meaning of this hadith just a little bit. Yani some comments concerning the meaning of this hadith. Naam. From the meanings of this hadith, it is said that the meaning of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La tusalli ila al-kubur wa la tajlisu alayha," the hadith reported by Imam Muslim. يعني the meaning المراد لا تعظموها لا تعظموها يعني عظم يعظم means what تعظيم يعني to glorify to exalt something to raise it high to magnify it right and تعظيم belongs to Allah سبحانه وتعالى يعني لا تعظموها بالصلاة إليها what is the meaning لا تعظموها بالصلاة إليها mean do not exalt the graves by praying towards them because praying towards the graves it is as though you are putting it in a position of exaltation or glorification in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has glorified his house the Kaaba by ordering the Muslims to pray towards the Kaaba do not exalt glorify the graves by praying towards them And he also said in the explanation of this hadith, لِأَنَّهُ يُشْبِهُ الْعِبَادَ لَهَا Because it resembles offering worship to it. It is as though you are worshipping it. This like it's like ibadah. وَلَا تُحَيِّنُوهَا بِالْجُلُوسِ عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تُحَيِّنُوهَا يعني don't degrade it. Don't think little of it. يعني don't make it to be insignificant, a base. يعني the graves by sitting upon them فَإِنَّهَا مُحْتَرِمَةً because indeed the graves are to be respected يعني you shouldn't sit upon the graves if you go to the cemetery you shouldn't walk upon the graves you should be careful to walk through the spaces between the graves because it's prohibited to sit upon them as in this hadith and in other narrations it's mentioned the prohibition of walking upon them. So do not pray towards the graves. Why? Because this resembles offering worship to them. It is ta'zeem. It is as though you are glorifying these graves. And Allah has not given them this status. And don't sit upon them either. Yani belittling or making insignificant the graves, abasing them, disrespecting them, because indeed they are to be respected. So these two prohibitions go together. On the one hand, don't go to the extreme of ta'zeem of the graves, exalting them above their status. And on the other hand, don't go to the other extreme of disrespecting and degrading the graves. And this reminds us of the principle of avoiding the extremes. The extremes, huh? The extremes of ghulu, exaggerating things beyond their Yani status, beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them. Or, yani thinking little of them, degrading them, a taqseer in reference to the rights of whatever they have. Yani the graves have rights. They have rights. And from their rights is that you don't sit upon them. So pay attention to this. Also it has been said, that it is also, yani in Subl al-Salam, Al-Imam al-San'ani, in the explanation of this hadith, he talks about first Abi Marathad. And he mentions who he was and that his son Marathad, yani Marathad ibn Abi Marathad, that he aslama huwa wa abuhu, yani both of them became Muslims, wa shahida badran, and witnessed, yani was present for the battle of Badr, wa qutila Marathad yawm al-ghazwatul raji' shahidan, and that Marathad, he was killed as a shaheed. Yani in the Ghazwa of Raji'. Then he says, Yani two things. وَفِيهِ النَّهِي In this hadith, there is a prohibition. النَّهِي عَنِ السَّلَاةِ إِلَى الْقَبْرِ Yani the prohibition of praying towards the qabr. كَمَا نَهَى عَنِ السَّلَاةِ عَلَى الْقَبْرِ And we have also been prohibited from praying upon the grave. Praying upon the grave. Praying towards it or praying upon it. وَالْعَصُلْ التَّحْرِيمِ And the original ruling concerning a prohibition is, as we said, النهي يقتضي التحريم. Yani when we find a prohibition, the original rule is that it indicates something is haram unless there's other evidence that makes us to know that it's not haram but rather it's makruh. Yani it could have a lesser ruling. Okay, unless there's other evidence, al-asl, the original ruling is that when something is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it means that it is haram. It is haram. He also said that this hadith indicates the prohibition of sitting upon the graves. And it has been narrated, yani this prohibition of sitting in other hadith, like the hadith of Jabir fi wata'i al-qabr. Yani the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, of what? The prohibition of walking upon the grave. And it has also been narrated in other hadith, like the hadith of Abu Huraira, yani reported by Al-Imam Muslim, in which he said, yani to sit, for one of you to sit upon a hot burning coal, so that it burns his clothing and reaches his skin, would be better for him than that he sit upon the grave. That's how severe, yani it is, that a person disrespect the graves by sitting on them. Yani the Prophet ﷺ, hadith reported by Imam Muslim, he said it would be better for you to sit upon hot coals that would burn through your clothing and burn your skin. That would be better for you than to sit upon the graves. And this here, the Prophet ﷺ is making us to know the seriousness of the matter. It is really that serious. And it will suffice with this. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, in his opinion concerning this matter, and there's some sayings of some of the scholars concerning it, in some of the explanations of hadith, it is mentioned that he considered that the one who prays towards the grave, then that salat is not sahiha, it is not valid. Likewise, the one who prays in the cemetery, or the one who prays towards the grave. وَنَهِي أَنْ ذَلِكَ إِنَّمَا هُوَ سَدْ لِلذَّرِيعَ الشِّرْكِ. Yani that the prohibition here is for what reason? To close the openings that would lead to shirk. And again, as we said earlier, there's no doubt the Prophet ﷺ is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made him to prohibit certain things to close the way. سَدْ الذَّرِيعَ. That would lead to something evil or harmful to the people, and from amongst those things that he warned us against is praying towards the graves, which leads to the greatest evil that a human being can commit, and that is a shirk. Because we know that a shirk, the major shirk for sure, and even according to some scholars, it doesn't matter, shirk in general is the worst of all sins. But we know for sure, without any doubt, and there's no difference of opinion, that major shirk causes a person, Islam, to be nullified. Yani the Islam is nullified. A person goes out of the circle of Islam. A person is not a Muslim. Is not a Muslim. This is something that's crystal clear. It's crystal clear that the person who worships something other than Allah is not a Muslim. Is not a Muslim. And that doesn't mean that if you see somebody committing an act, that you now make a ruling on them and you declare them to be a kafir. We're not saying that. We're saying that this act of committing shirk, causes a person to leave Islam. As far as a specific individual who committed an act, it's not our right to make rulings on the people. But this is the responsibility of the scholars. Because there are shurut, conditions that have to be fulfilled. And there are mawani'a, prohibitive factors that has to be considered before the ruling of kufr is declared upon a person. So we don't say, I saw him doing such and such, therefore he's a kafir. No, we don't do that. But rather we say, the one who does such an act is a kafir. The one who says such a thing is a kafir. Naam. But as far as a particular individual, takfir al-mu'ayyin, we don't say that that particular person, he's a kafir. But rather, this is the role and responsibility of the scholars, who will look at, make sure the conditions are fulfilled, and make sure the prohibitive factors are absent before a person would be declared to be a kafir. This is a very serious matter. For us, it's not the matter of being able to judge other people to be kafirs. Rather, for us, it's to protect ourselves from falling into kufr. That's what we're concerned about. We're not concerned about yani declaring somebody to be a kafir. I have proof, I got evidence, I can declare him to be a kafir. No, that's not the point. The point is I have proof and evidence that this is kufr, and therefore I'm going to avoid it at all costs. And I'm going to warn my family and my loved ones and my friends and the Muslims against such an act. Okay? We could stop here by maybe just taking any question concerning the meaning of the hadith, the yani linguistic meanings of the words, the linguistic rules concerning this hadith, anything that wasn't clear from what we covered today. Now.
So like in graveyards, they have like an office building or a chapel. You pray in there?
Is it in the graveyard?
Yeah, I mean, like,
if it's in the graveyard, it's the graveyard. Yani in the graveyard is graveyard. Yani outside of the graveyard, we should leave the graveyard. Yani it's not difficult. If a person is in that place, even if you were unsure, دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. Yani if you're in doubt about something, leave that which you are doubtful about for that about which there is no doubt. Leave that which you are in doubt about. Don't participate in that which you are unsure about. You don't know, is it lawful, is it unlawful, is it haram, or whatever. You don't know, leave it. Da'ma yuribuk. Leave it. You're not sure? That's a doubtful matter. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ لَا يَعْلَمُهُنَّ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And there are matters that are clearly halal in Islam. And there are matters that are clearly haram in Islam. And between them are matters about which they are unclear. A lot of people don't know about them. So these are the things that you have to avoid. Let me just look quickly. Sisters, can you please review the hadith for next week if you have time? Yes, we'll do that right now. Why is it permissible to pray with a person in front of you, such as Aisha was sutra for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why is this different from the exalting and glorifying as mentioned in this hadith, not to do with graves? Yani, this is a lengthy yani subject, and you know, now is not the time to go into the detail of it, but just to clarify it as best we can. Yani, the first thing is that when people are praying towards the grave, some of the scholars clearly mention that there's a difference between the person praying towards the graves with the intent of ta'zeem. They are praying towards that grave because they consider the person in the grave is a saint, wali, something special. That's why that's different than the person who prayed towards the grave. Yani, inadvertently, not intentionally. Not with the intention of exaltation or glorification of the grave. Then there's a difference between the two. But even to do it inadvertently is makruh. But to do it intentionally is haram. To do it intentionally is haram. So here we found that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was praying in the direction of the qibla, and the feet of Aisha radiallahu anha was in front of his way. Yani because their room, their whole house is a room, right? It's very small. It's not a lot of space in there. She's laying there across the floor, and he's praying in that direction. He's not praying to Aisha radiallahu anha. This is very different. Yani praying because yani somebody's feet is across the path, and you're praying in that direction. That's not yani. There's no intent whatsoever of ta'zeem, and not only that, but you're not praying towards the person. It was her feet that was across the room where he was praying at. So this is a different matter altogether. But indeed, it's permissible if a person was needing a sutra to pray towards, and you should not pray without a sutra, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا صَلَّ عَدُكُمْ فَلْيُصَلِّ إِلَى السُّتْرَ. If any one of you prays, فَلْيُصَلِّ, then he must. This is لَامَ الْأَمْرَ. Meaning he must pray towards the sutra. And in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا صَلَّ عَدُكُمْ فَلَا يُصَلِّ إِلَّا إِلَى السُّتْرَ. If any one of you prays, then do not pray except that you pray towards the sutra. So if a person doesn't have a sutra, and they prayed, yani, because somebody was there, then there's no harm in that, because the intent is what? That they are praying with a sutra, if they didn't find something else to pray with. And we're going to stop here and just go, quickly.
In reference to
the class is going to end early because of the time change for the Iqamah, so we want to try to stop now.
In reference to a masjid, right, that's built, not in the graveyard, but at the street level, but the graveyard is behind it. You understand what I'm saying? And you're not facing the grave. You're facing the grave. You're covered when you're from the grave. They have people like that in Iraq, with masjids like that. Not many of them. So what is the ruling on that shit?
I don't really understand the picture that you're making. It's not that clear to me.
In other words, the masjid is this way. At the street level. Right? But behind the masjid is the graveyard, but you're not facing it.
Okay, it doesn't matter. You're not facing the grave. The grave is behind, yani. No doubt, in any masjid where you're praying.
Connected, I mean.
It's connected. The graveyard is connected to the masjid.
Like this is the masjid, right? The graveyards go back from the masjid. They begin from the tail end of the masjid.
And the qibla is towards the grave or in the opposite direction? Okay, no problem. Do not pray. لا تصلي إلى الكبور. No. In the direction of the graves.
Right.
Okay, listen, the time is short again because we lost 15 minutes for the Iqamah. And we just want to review quickly the hadith. The sisters reminded us to review the hadith. Naam,
Akhi. Brother, they have a masjid on 193rd
Street.
Go ahead. No, the church though. I don't know if they accepted it or not.
It was a church or it is a church?
It was a church. It still has the cross at the top.
Okay, I mean, if it was a church. If it was a church, it's no longer, but it's no longer a church, then it's permissible. It's permissible. And they should remove it. They should remove it. They should remove it. I mean, why would anybody, yani, why would somebody make a masjid out of a place that has a cross and they don't remove the cross? Huh? Yani, if you feel uncomfortable, pray somewhere else. Don't pray there. There's a lot of masjids, right? No need to pray there. No need to pray there. If there's some doubt in your mind, better to pray somewhere else. As long as there's lots of places to pray, why do we want to pray in a place that we feel uncomfortable with, right? Let me just quickly go over the hadith, because we have to stop here. The hadith for next week, we just want to preview it quickly. Yani hadith number 9 at verse at-tasiyah on page 21. An Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. Yani the narrator of the hadith is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, the great companion of the Prophet and the scholar of Islam. Qal. Yani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم the hadith that we had today was, he said, سمعت رسول الله. In this hadith, سألت رسول الله. I asked. يعني from سأل يسأل. I asked رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله. يعني عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله. يعني عبد بن مسعود رضي الله عنه he said قال he said I asked the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله. يعني which deed, which act of worship is more beloved, is most beloved. أحب إلى الله. Look at the question, and we'll talk about it in detail next week. يعني he didn't want to just know a deed that's loved, but he wants to know the one that is ahabbu, the most beloved deed to who? To Allah. Naam. Qala, yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-salatu ala waqtiha. Huh? As-salatu ala waqtiha. The performance of the salat in its time. And in some of the narrations he said, yani fi awwali waqtiha, in the beginning of his time. Qultu thumma ayyun. I, that is Abdul Mas'ud, he said, قلت, I said, ثُمَّ أَيُّن, then which? Which deed? يعني after that, is next deed most beloved to Allah. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, بِرُّ والدين. Huh? What? بِرُّ والدين. يعني being dutiful, kind, charitable, good to the parents, to your mother and your father. قلت ثُمَّ أَيُّن. Then I said, that is Abdul Mas'ud said, then I said, ثُمَّ أَيُّن. Then which one? قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Yani striving in the way of Allah. And this hadith is مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Yani agreed upon by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. One last time. عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ سَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم أي العمل أحب إلى الله قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلاة على وقتها قلت ثم أي قال بر الوالدين قلت ثم أي قال الجهاد في سبيل الله متفق عليه. We're going to stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.